Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This was a tough one, you know, again, you know, another game we lost, you know, by a couple of runs, but we got to keep battling, got to keep going. I mean, we got to stay positive, come back tomorrow and do it again tomorrow.
Dave Martinez last night following the Nats 6-4 loss to the woeful Colorado Rockies. They had a 4-3 lead going into the ninth. Kyle Finnegan, who had not given up a home run in his first 25 appearances this year, gave up 2 home runs in the ninth. Can't make this up right now. The Nats are losers of 9 in a row. And, of course, what happened over the weekend with Dave Martinez after they had lost to the Marlins on Saturday, saying, you know, being asked about sort of the production, the offensive production specifically, and he said, it's never on coaching. It's never the coaches. That got a lot of attention, of course. And this 4-game stretch against Colorado, the worst team that Major League Baseball has seen in many years, at least through this point in the season, what could be coming if they lose 3 out of 4? They've already lost the first of 4. I had Chelsea Janes, who's covered the Nats and covered Major League Baseball for years in this town for the Washington Post, on my podcast yesterday. This was before the game last night, but some interesting stuff from Chelsea in talking about the Dave Martinez situation. Joining me right now, Chelsea Janes, longtime reporter for the Washington Post, covered the team forever. She now is the paper's national baseball reporter, at Chelsea_Janes on X on Twitter. You heard what Davey said on Saturday, and you've just written about it in the Post. You'll get to read that online if you're a Post subscriber today, in the paper tomorrow, I'm sure. Where did it stem from, do you think? Was it just frustration in the moment after losing a 7th straight game, or do you think that there is some concern about job security?
Yeah, I think it was largely frustration, but I also think there is a little bit of tension here with, you know, his option on his deal needs to be picked up in July for him to be under contract next year, and, you know, July is coming quickly and results are not, you know, improving. So I think it's a bunch of things. Obviously, you know, you can't speak for him, but I do think there's a lot of frustration there because I think, like all of us, he's watching these guys do the same stuff over again and kind of wondering, like, what do I have to do to get you to understand that we have to change things?
What was the reaction in the clubhouse? And then, if you know, from Mike Rizzo and ownership?
You know, I wasn't in the clubhouse the day after, but my colleagues who were said that they noticed a lot more front office presence in the clubhouse Sunday morning than normal. Mike Rizzo's not normally in there, certainly not kind of openly talking to players, but he was down there, and so were some other front office folks, just kind of having conversations that we don't usually see. So what that means, I don't know. You know, maybe they got a new coffee machine, but I doubt it. I think it's probably related, and just kind of hearing from people around the team, it sounds like, you know, Riz went in there to kind of, you know, clean things up, whatever that means, just to everybody's good. They probably are, you know, but we did hear there was frustration from players in the immediate aftermath, kind of just wondering, like, okay, if it's not about us, you know, what are you talking about? Because it certainly seemed like there was a little punt of accountability there from Davey, and certainly more of a punt than we've really heard from him before.
Chelsea, what kind of job is he doing?
That's a great question. I don't know. You know, I think we, you know, by all sort of measures of a human being, he is a good person, a kind person who cares about the guys, and that does matter. What I don't know is if they are underachieving or overachieving relative to what they should be doing. I mean, they're underachieving relative to what Davey and Riz and others said they should be doing this year. But I don't, you know, we don't know who these guys are. We don't know who Robert Hassel should be. We don't know what Dylan Cruz, you know, should be. We know what they think they are. But, you know, with another manager, would this roster be in the same place? Maybe, maybe not. You know, it's so hard to say and has been hard to say for such a long time because you're not looking at guarantees in that lineup. You're looking at people who either have to get better and then the lineup will get better, or who are kind of there as placeholders. And so, you know, is Davey the problem? How many wins is he responsible for? I don't know. And I think that's part of why it's so hard to sort of pull the Nats out of this, because there's not one clear problem or one clear thing where you say, you know, Davey's really asleep on the job, because I don't think that's the takeaway from this year necessarily at all.
You know, it was just a week and a half ago, they were like two or three games below 500. They were scoring a bunch of runs, you know, against Arizona, and I forget who else during that stretch. They were clearly more explosive from an offensive standpoint than they were this time last year. And now they're in the midst of an eight-game losing streak with three bad losses to Miami, a bad team. I mean, things change in sports. We understand this, but what were people thinking a week and a half ago?
No, I think everyone around the Nationals can agree that there was a world in which they would maybe contend for a wild card spot this year. And as of a week ago, that world still existed. It kind of still exists now. You know, if they make a big run, they're back in it. And all of that would be really good. But I think what people know around the team, and certainly everyone who watches them regularly, is that they're just not as sure a thing as they should be after this long of a rebuild. You know, they should be, we shouldn't be wondering who they are. You know, we shouldn't be kind of living week to week. This should be a team that can be consistent. And yeah, with young guys, you're going to have inconsistencies, but it just seems like they haven't taken the big leap. You know, you're not sure that they're going to be better this year than last year. And I think, frankly, you know, put in those terms, it's unacceptable given what, you know, Davey, Riz and others said were the expectations for this year.
I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, you know, prior to these comments out of, let's just say, frustration on Saturday, the default for most fans would be to blame ownership for not spending enough money, not giving Mike Rizzo enough resources. And, you know, it just seemed rarely did that trickle down to the manager, who, by the way, has a losing record as a manager. I mean, there is 2019 to stand on, obviously, a magical season that ended up in a World Series. But now we're talking about the manager and the manager's job security. Did that just change because he made these comments Saturday, or do you think it's still fair to start with ownership?
I think it's always fair to start with ownership. And I think with the Nationals, it's always fair to talk about Mike Rizzo and Davey in the context of what they've been given. I think it would be unfair not to, right? This is not, you know, the last time that they had, you know, that Davey managed a team that had kind of all its stars and wasn't trying to cut payroll, they won the World Series. Ever since then, you know, they've been trying to trend, and that has shown. But I don't think Davey was on the hot seat before this weekend. I don't know that he's on it now. But I will say that what he did was sort of bring to the surface something that we really hadn't seen. We didn't see anyone getting frustrated. You know, we hadn't seen anyone say, you know, okay, James Wood has been great, but, like, what the heck else is going on here? You know, what's the direction of this team? And he didn't say that, but he sort of revealed that, you know, he wishes some things were going different. And players being frustrated by those comments, you know, reveals that they're frustrated about something and that there's a disconnect there. And I think all of that existed. You know, these things don't come out of nowhere. I think, obviously, Davey had been frustrated for a little while. You know, we just kind of know from being around that there are guys who, you know, they wish would make better progress, and there are players who sometimes aren't sure kind of, you know, where Davey stands, and that exists in every clubhouse. But I think Davey kind of just called attention to his own frustrations and therefore kind of reminded everyone that, like, look, this should be probably going differently. You know, you're not frustrated when things are trending the right way. An eight-game losing streak doesn't feel so bad when you kind of know that in the grand scheme of things you're going the right direction. And I just don't think anyone there feels certain that they are anything more than they are right now, you know, without some significant change.
You know, without the 2019 World Series, I mean, the record is not good. They've finished basically in dead last in the National League 3 out of the last 5 years, fourth place the other 2 years. You know, in most organizations, he wouldn't be the manager right now, right?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily, you know, conventional wisdom in that case might not necessarily be wisdom at all. You know, I think we've seen, you know, the Pirates and Rockies look pretty silly scapegoating their managers when the rosters they built are not good. And, you know, I think at times in the last 2 years, that would have been all it was if they had decided Dave Martinez was the problem, because he frankly didn't have anything to work with.
Right.
Now, I think there's some. I mean, James Wood is really, really good. He's Juan Soto part two, and it feels like it doesn't change the equation for them at all. You know, they feel like they're going to win the same number of games maybe as last year. They're just going to look better doing it. And I think that's where the problem comes in, is you look at that guy and say, okay, if everyone kind of comes along and CJ is coming along and James Wood's coming along and McKenzie's leading the league in strikeouts, this team should be winning, or at least closer to it than they are. And they're not. And so I think that's why you can start looking at Dave Martinez and say, okay, there's actual talent here. What's not clicking? And does that mean he's a problem? I don't think there's any one problem. So, but it definitely just kind of makes you look at things with a, I think, earned scrutiny.
All right, let's net it out on Davey here by just asking you, because they play Colorado the next 4 games. Colorado, for those of you who don't know, is not only the worst team in baseball, there's not a close second. They are 14-57 on the season. They are terrible. Is this a big series? Is he in jeopardy if they say, you know, were to lose 3 of 4? Could that be it by the end of the week or midweek?
You know, I don't know. I would say I think it feels bigger than any series we've had in quite some time for that reason. I think, you know, a bad showing here is going to continue a downward spiral that has escalated pretty quickly, I think. You know, I think those comments mattered in that they just called attention to their mediocrity, kind of. So I think, I don't know how hot the seat is. I don't know how hot it should be, but I do know that if you're losing 3 or 4 to the Rockies after what they just did this weekend, that it's going to be closer than it's ever been to something changing, and probably should be at that point.
Is there an obvious replacement on the team somewhere?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Sometimes
the
solution,
problem, right?
Sometimes the solution, if it's difficult, sort of tells you where the answer is going to come, even if they lose 3 out of 4.
I think that's right, and I think the fact that you don't look around and say this guy would help in the manager's seat probably tells you a lot too, right? That,
yeah.
That there's just so much more going on, because a manager can't make that roster better. You know, he can't hasten the development of Hassel and Cruz and guys that, you know, they probably need to be better sooner if they're going to win this year. You know, there's other problems, and one of them, the problem that'll always be there, is that if they're not willing to spend on quality players, they are not going to win, because they are not built to do this internally. They're just not built to do it all internally. That was fine, you know, last time around, because they were able to go out and get pieces to supplement what they could do. But if they can't do that, I just don't think they're built to do it themselves. And that's, you know, that's a huge problem.
All right, let's switch subjects real quickly. Tell us about the calling up of Brady House, where he'll play, what they're expecting from him.
No, I think Brady House, it's time. You know, he's had a really strong season in AAA. He's going to swing and miss a lot. That's always been the problem, so he'll kind of fit right in. That doesn't really scare them. He's got a lot of power from the right side. He's a really energetic and competitive guy, so I think that, you know, is only a positive thing. And I think he'll play as much third as his bat shows he can. I mean, they would love to hand him the position. I don't know if he'll be totally ready for that, but I think he'll get a shot, and, you know, maybe he'll be kind of an injection of life because, you know, he is a reminder that there are other good young players here, and, you know, if they can just get everybody in the same direction, you know, there's talent to be had there. There's talent to be made something of.
Another first-round pick has pitched well recently. Will Cade Cavalli find his way to the bigs soon?
I think so. They've always been, you know, pretty clear with him, you know, even to the point of joking around in spring training that they're going to play it slow. They're not going to let him come back until, you know, midway through the summer so that he doesn't have to handle a ton of innings coming off injury. So I think it was a plan to kind of get to June or July and then bring him back. I think everyone in the organization still has faith that he's, you know, somebody that's going to contribute to the rotation. And, you know, that's something else to look forward to there. That guy coming back, if he's as good as they thought he once was, then, you know, that'll help a lot too.
Is Mackenzie Gore a legitimate Cy Young candidate in the National League?
He's definitely close. I think he will get votes. I don't know if he can keep up with some of the bigger guys out there, although it's been, you know, a little bit of an inconsistent season with some of the guys at the top. But, you know, leading the league in strikeouts is no joke. I mean, he's really good. Players think he's really good after they face him. I just think he needs to be a little more dominant, maybe, you know, hold teams down a little bit more than he does to kind of jump into that conversation seriously. But I also might be harder on him than people who are voting and don't see every start and analyze it, you know, to the minute like we do.
Well, Skeens is a heavy favorite right now, but Mackenzie Gore's in the mix of, like, you know, fifth or sixth among odds right now. But he, as you mentioned, he leads not just the National League, but he leads all big leaguers in strikeouts with 119. Last one. Do Gore, Wood, and C.J. Abrams all become All-Stars this year? All three?
I think they should. You know, I don't know how, you know, Wood and Gore aren't. I think Abrams might be on the bubble, but probably should make it again. So, you know, I think all three should be All-Stars. Whether they will be or not is, you know, often a more complicated process than that.
Thanks for doing this. Hope you're well. Good to catch up. Thanks, Chelsea.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Chelsea Janes from my podcast yesterday. Again, the Nats lost last night to Colorado. Brady House, by the way, last night in his debut, 0-for-3 with a walk and a strikeout. The Nats and the Rockies again tonight. This will be a very interesting week if the Nats can't figure out a way to get healthy against the Colorado Rockies. And last night, they lost. That's 9 in a row. Now, you turn that into 10 in a row, 11 in a row with, you know, the last 5 or 6 coming against the Marlins and the Rockies. I would expect, just based on optics, a change. We'll see. All right. When we come back, the NBA draft is a week from tomorrow night. The Wizards have 2 picks, and the latest ESPN mock draft has them selecting a player that I really hope they don't select. More on that next.
All right, the Oklahoma City Thunder took a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals last night by a score of 120-109. The Pacers cut the lead to 2 points in the fourth quarter, and it was all OKC from there with a 21-8 run to close out the game. Jalen Williams put up 40 points on 56% shooting. The Stanley Cup Final is tonight, and the Cup is in the building. The Panthers are coming home with a chance to close out the Edmonton Oilers tonight at 8 p.m. on TNT. And the Nats, they fall to the Rockies after entering the ninth with a 4-3 lead. Kyle Finnegan gives up his first home run of the season to tie the game. Then Mickey Maniak hits the go-ahead home run. Kyle Finnegan's second given up of the year. The Nats fall 6-4 and extend their losing streak to 9 games. They'll continue their series versus the Rockies tonight. First pitch is at 6:45. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports, and that is what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.